All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. A real treat. We're here at the Kahala Hotel, and we're with the cat, Verdeen White of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Say aloha and mahalo, my brother. Great to see you.
How are you, man? How have you been? Good to see you again, man.
I am good. Thank you for asking.
Good yourself.
Thank you.
The whole year has been really a very dynamic year, a very enlightening year, a very growing year. It started off, of course, with the passing of Maurice, February the 4th, the best leader you could ever have, and Maurice's book just came out.
It's My Life with Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's the new autobiography about your late great brother Maurice White.
Well, Reese had been thinking about doing this book for quite some time. He'd been done with it about a year, but he tweaked it right up to Thanksgiving and his birthday so it could be ready. And Reese pretty much put it all on the table, which that wasn't him in real life, where he talked about a lot of things. You know, he was totally focused on music. And unless you knew him like, you know, I did, these things I knew about him, you know, being his brother.
Did he intend for it to be a posthumous release like this?
No, because it's just one of those things that happened. Yeah, right. You know, those, you know, we never know with right. life, you know. No, we have no control, you know what I mean? And as always, Reese's timing was perfect. And this is a great book about faith. This is a great book about somebody that stood the course. And also, it's a great book by anybody who wants to start a band.
Behind the scenes of how it's done.
How it's done and how hard it is to get done. Because everybody always talks about, you know, you guys are great. Oh my God, we'd love to see you. We'll have every record. You're my favorite band. But there's always the part that they don't see. That you got to, you know, you got to break ground.
And you got to work hard. I remember talking to Randy Bachman from Bachman Turner Overdrive. He said, we have all these hits, but people don't realize the 10 songs that weren't hits and every one of those albums and the times and the effort and the struggle and the sweat that goes in.
Exactly. And hanging in there and believing in it.
There's a 10-year gap in your ages. Maurice was this big brother figure. That's a major thing. And so talk about a little bit of the bond that you share on some of that and how his own musical passion ended up doing what it's done to shape your entire life.
Absolutely. You're right about the 10-year gap. That's a long gap in any time, even in a friend time, 10 years. Sure. He was like my idol, my Elvis. And then at the same time, he put me in a band that he was going to start. Out of all the people that he could have brought, he asked me to come to California, and I was 18. Total eye-opener for me. Came from Chicago. I left college. I had it all planned, man. I was going to make me like 50 G's a year and, you know, maybe get me a little house one day, teach, do some classical music. Maybe one day I'd make a record.
What was your major?
Music. And then I minored in classical bass because I was doing that and playing little clubs in Chicago. And then I said, what about all of my schooling? He said, I'll teach you everything you need to know out here. And he certainly did. And then when I came to California, I came at a very revolutionary time in the early 70s of all the hippies and the peace and love movement and sort of like what Black Lives Matter is today, except on steroids. Because you had four or five movements happen at the same time. And music was changing. And Maurice was right in the forefront of changing. And then he had that confidence. He had that drive. He knew exactly what he wanted to do.
Starting a whole new genre of stuff. He was bending together all these different formulas into one package, which there was no guarantee. It wasn't like he was following a model. Yeah, we do this. We release it. It's a 3.5-minute song. It's going to be a success. It's a whole different thing.
Exactly. No, it wasn't automatic. And like you say, he was breaking new ground. He was doing something totally different that had never happened before. And out of that came record companies believing in acts and groups of color. And ironically, now people know us for, you know, Shining Star and Boogie Wonderland and September Now. But the first record we did was a black exploitation movie by Melvin Van Peebles, Sweet Sweetback. And that was my first record I had did with Maurice. I had played on little local records in Chicago, but that was my first big time record.
One of the tidbits in My Life with Earth, Wind, and Fire, drafted to go to Vietnam.
I got drafted right after we did that record.
You remember it coming?
Oh, yeah, man. The draft notice came to Chicago, but I was in L.A.
Who calls and tells you that?
My dad did. And he read it to me over the phone. It was like, oh, wow. Oh, wow, we're going to get drafted. I'm going to go to L.A. Oh, my God. And fortunately, when the time came for me to do the induction, I got rejected. Back in the day, it was like you got one Y, one A. 4F was the lotto, was the big kahuna, means you could never get drafted. And I got 4F.
It was a safety guard.
It was a safety guard, and they sent the notice back and said, you're 4F, 1971. And don't forget now, we were raging in the Vietnam War. That was when the draft was like really, really happening. And if you had one leg, you'd get drafted. They didn't care. I wasn't even 20 years old then. I was like 19. It was a lot going on at the same time. So it was a lot to digest as a young person. So I was really fortunate that happened, and I could stay with my brother.
What was the school that you left? left to go to the...
I went to the American Conservatory of Music to study classical music. And I left. They gave me an honorary doctorate about 2 years ago. the Conservatory gave it to me. They came and they gave me an honorary doctorate.
And I like how you pointed out it gave record companies the confidence to not only be hiring more acts of color, but also acts that pushed a musical boundary. Perhaps that record labels were more willing to take chances on bands that were not so formulaic.
That's right. Well, Clive Davis was the one that gave us our big, big break. Clive did on Columbia Records. And even in Clive's book, he talks about it was a big risk because he brought us to London to show us off in front of all of the, at that time, rack jobbers and record company owners and record store owners and things like that. And so other labels followed him.
Trendsetters.
Exactly. You know, after he did it on CBS Records and Warner Brothers did it and Elektra Records did it, then a lot of the records invested. You know, you had African-American disc jockeys, you had radio. Really started a huge explosion at that time.
There's another story from Maurice's book, My Life with Earth, Wind & Fire, details the time in the control room of Ocean Way Studio, Sunset Boulevard. Maurice fulfilled what he describes as a big dream of his when he connected EWF to one of the great personalities of magic.
Well, you know, he always had these great ideas about putting on the best show ever. A great magician named Doug Henning came over and came up with his ideas and brought the ideas to the table. And Doug actually passed away a few years ago. He was a transcendental meditator. He was running for office in Canada.
Fan of EWF.
Oh, yeah. And his wife was a lady named Barbara DeAngelis, who wrote a lot of self-help books. And Doug had a lot of Harry Houdini's books. A great magician. Well studied, really great to work with. And actually, later on, a lot of those things that you saw in Michael Jackson's show, he got from Doug, because Michael and his brothers would come to our show.
It's a great classic shot of Doug from the 70s. Your brother describing seeing Doug looking through the door at the control room.
Yeah, I remember that day because we were over there mixing, and it's different when you come in the studio. It's probably fascinating for other people to take a look and see you in action and in the process of doing music. When you would watch Maurice working in the studio, it was always a beautiful process watching him work and being part of the process too, and having a meeting about magic at the same time you're recording. So it was a kind of a cool thing to watch it sort of like
evolve
and come into view. You're working on a record that you're going to put with this magic that comes up later. And I think the album was All in All.
There's a shot of Doug holding a little pyramid. Pyramid. Ended up being an element in the EWF mix. Picture the two of you with pyramids behind you.
Myself, Maurice, and Don Myrick. We went to Egypt. We went to Cairo. It was great. We went twice, actually. Took a beautiful picture in the Sahara Desert. It was February, but it was like 90 degrees in the Sahara Desert. Maurice always wanted to go to Egypt.
Was it a bunch of you or just you?
A bunch of us, just about 50 of us that went.
Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. And it now features you.
Well, first of all, it's a great exhibit by a lot of wonderful African American artists. George Clinton, the mothership, is in there.
The actual mothership. The
actual mothership. Not a copy, but the mothership. Chuck Berry's Cadillac is in there. I don't know how they found that. Then they have one of my outfits that are in there, and it's in a glass encase.
Were you wearing the platform boots back then?
No, this is actually maybe a little bit after, but it's a stage outfit, and it's great for the young people to see. And the thing about it with those outfits, they're so dynamic that you can only wear them once. Because what happens is young people like you and everybody says, well, you know, he wore that the last time he came to Hawaii. Doesn't he have any more outfits? So you only can wear it once. So I figure I might as well just wear it and give it to the museum.
It's history.
Yeah, you're part of history. And interesting for us, while we're still making a certain amount of history, we're part of history at the same time.
It's a living history. On your Facebook page, when it was saying happy birthday to you, it said happy birthday to Verdine Dino White. I've never heard the Dino. What is that?
All my friends, see, people that know me don't call me Verdine.
They call me like Reese was Maurice.
Yeah, Reese, or like Philip Bailey's Doc or PB. Ralph Johnson is Slick.
So I should call you Dino.
Yeah, call me Dino. Once you're in the family, man, you know, you've known me more than you for a long time. We've been doing this for a long time. So your family, you know. Only fans that don't know me call me. Are you for Dean White? Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
It's Dino.
It's Dino.
How long does that nickname go back?
Oh, man, since we started. Way back in the day.
Was that Dino from the Flintstones that inspired
it? No, I don't. I certainly hope not.
He was adorable.
Yeah. We do a birthday celebration for guys
in the
from the Flintstones thing. Oh, yeah, we do that. That's our thing. When everybody has a birthday, we always do that one, right?
You have fun talking tonight?
Oh, yes, good, man. Tonight was actually perfect. The end of the day, you know, I knew you were going to be doing it. Our interviews are always great. When I heard we were doing this last, oh, this is actually better than the phoner we did. Because phoners are weird because you got to get the time coordinated and then, you know.
Signal.
Yeah.
Man. What'd you say?
Right. It's all, and then, you know, and sometimes you drop out, you know, and it breaks the flow of the interview. So, and then also, too, your questions are always right. Spot on, you know. It's not like an interview, it's like having a conversation.
I always dig catching up with you, man. It's Verdeen White, Earth, Wind, and Fire, original member and a wonderful guy. I appreciate it tonight, Verdeen.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Dino, rather.
Right, there you go. Thank you so much. Aloha, everyone. It's Verdeen White from Earth, Wind, and Fire. You're in a great place. Tuned to my friend, Dave Lawrence.
Shining bright to see, you keep it true.